The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Are you ready, Steve?
Uh-huh.
Andy?
Yeah!
Bert? Well, all right, fellas. Well, let's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today's Thursday, first day of March, 2012. Quick look at the numbers. The Dow up 41. S&P up 7, the comp up 20, gold even recovering a bit, up $9 on the day. Michael will be with us shortly. He is rebooting. We do have Mr. Burton Schlichter in the wings. Perhaps he'll pop in here momentarily, chat with us. We will be chatting at the bottom of the hour with our good friend David Williams from PageTrader.com and our very special guest, Trader X. We really enjoyed having him on the show yesterday. I was polling the traders this morning in our live trading room as to what their biggest takeaway was, and we'll probably discuss that more in the community workshop tonight, and then again, probably next week, we'll talk about the takeaways, but first we want to take it away. Now, yesterday when Bernanke spoke, Ron Paul kind of lit into him, waved a silver dollar in his face, and the markets tanked heavily. There were other things going on around the world. It wasn't just about Bernanke. This morning, as he was testifying before Congress again, one of the talking points that he continued to try to drive home every opportunity he was given is that we are well protected from this mess in Europe. No offense to anyone in Europe, but, well, you know it's kind of a mess. And sometimes our own mess here at home gets clouded by, it's like if we talk so much about your mess, then maybe nobody notices our own mess. But, you know, we got messes of our own. However, I think Bernanke was really trying to put everyone's fears to rest that somehow we have managed to isolate ourselves from the Eurozone crisis. I think the term he used repeatedly was that we are sufficiently hedged. Okay, and everyone understands what that means. If you want to have some privacy on your property, you know, where you live or vacation, you build a nice hedge around your property, you're hedged, right? Okay. Well, if you build a 7-foot hedge, then you are well protected and have privacy from most ordinary things. But when a 9-foot monster comes along, guess what? Suddenly that 7-foot hedge, which looked pretty, you know, spectacular, suddenly not such a big deal, is it? Now, when I'm at a loss for words, I always turn to my dear, droll friend, the Economist, because they've always got words. And let me share with you just a very short article that they published just this morning. The European Central Bank has ridden to the rescue. The yields on Spanish and Italian 10-year debt are back below 5%. And all is well again. No? No. Eurozone unemployment continues to hit new record highs. Across the single currency area, the rate rose from 10.6% to 10.7% in January. German unemployment actually moved up a bit, and the rate in France is back in double digits. Now, you know, when we read this or you hear those words, it doesn't have the effect of someone who is living in a country or in an economy where there is double-digit unemployment. Now, the levels for Ireland, Italy, Portugal, and Spain are as follows. 14.8%, that's Ireland, 9.2% in Italy, 14.8% in Portugal, and Spain, 23.3%. Literally, one out of four people unemployed. And that's just the ones that they're able to track. In February, manufacturing activity across the Eurozone continued to contract at a somewhat slower pace than in January. The best performances were in the north. German activity dipped a bit, but declining activity in France has come to an end for now, at least. Contraction continued in Italy, Spain, and Greece. In Spain, the decline actually worsened in February. And in Greece, well, Greece manufacturing activity has contracted for 50 consecutive months. And February, the pace of the decline, the 50th consecutive month, the pace of the decline was the worst in history. It has literally fallen off the chart. They've had to make new charts because it fell off. It fell off the bottom of the chart. They had to go make new charts. Here's the problem. It's difficult to pay your debts when your economy is shrinking. The worse peripheral recessions become, the more markets may fear a Greek-like outcome for others. Italy looks surprisingly resilient these days. But you don't have to dig too deep to see that that's really not the case. Now, although Italy looks resilient on the surface, the same cannot be said for Portugal and Spain. These are the really two big dominoes that we're dealing with. Beyond financial crisis worries, it's worth pointing out that there is a substantial human cost to long periods of economic weakness. European society and politics will be the worse for this outcome. While we may thank Super Mario Draghi for preventing a sudden Eurozone collapse, it should be very clear to everyone that the ECB ought to be acting far more aggressively to fight what is clearly a Eurozone recession. That ends the Economist thoughts, and that is why I think Chairman Bernanke this morning did his very best to assure Congress and the American people and everyone watching C-SPAN that we as a country, as a nation, as America, we have taken the necessary precautions to build a hedge tall enough to keep away that big bad bear. So, Bert, are you with us? Okay, I see you in the green room, but apparently you're not on the headset. Oh, Michael, you're with us. Okay.
Bert's here. I'm here.
You're here? Okay, very good. Good afternoon, Michael.
Sorry about the delay. Good afternoon.
Now, guys, the other night I posted on the blog a chart of the Dow, and I'm going to point it out real quick here because I think it's germane to the conversation. Someone used that phrase with me yesterday, and they actually used it in the right context, and I was very impressed because most people don't. I've been guilty a few times, so I'm glad I finally learned how to use it in the right context. And it has nothing to do with Super Mario, okay? So we'll leave it at that. All right, here we go. This is what I posted the other night on the blog. The YM, Dow E-mini Futures hourly chart, range bound for 34 hours and counting. Now, the fact that it's range bound for 34 hours, okay, that's a big deal. The fact that it's range bound inside of a 30-point range, that's an even bigger deal. That's equivalent to 3 points on the ES for 34 hours. That's a big deal. Now, yesterday, as you can see from the chart here, which is a contingency, that chart there becomes this chart here. Same chart. When Bernanke began to testify yesterday, huge drop. Then we pop back into the zone. And then overnight, we put in a little double bottom here. You can see that the right cheek of the double bottom, okay, a little bit higher low there. We begin to creep up. And then where do we end up? Right back inside that same 30-point zone. 12,970 to 13,000. And it just grinds. It continues to grind. And we're seeing similar activity on the ES. So it's just very easy to point this out to you right here on the YM. Let me show you on the ES very quickly, although Michael will do it as well. The one indicator you see on the chart here is the CFMA1. It's the backbone of our indicator set. This is an hourly chart. This gives you an idea of what side of the market you just might want to be on. Okay. Once price got on the backside and below this zone, did we have a huge rally? We did. But where did it get nipped in the bud? That's right. Steep drop. We get on the backside of the MA1. And where does that sell off from 64? I pointed this out last night on the Twitter. Okay. So we hit 64 yesterday and bounced to the tick, to the 72 zone. We then sold off down to some number that I had no special significance attached to. We then bounce to the zone at 64. We sell off, but we stay on the backside. And where do we make the turn up? Right here at the CFMA1. And we go from, actually we travel from 64 to 65, up to 72-73. And we're working that zone right now, and we've been working it, I think, for quite some time. If we take a look at the morning's action, what's really happened is we went from zone to zone, and then we had some news, which was negative, IMS manufacturing, which spiked us below that zone. We then got back inside. We've spiked it one more time to the downside. But where have we spent the majority of the day? Let's give it the benefit of everything from 69 to 73 in a four-point range. Okay, and we've spent the last 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80,000 contracts inside of a one-point range at 72, 73. So that's kind of the big picture outlook. Michael will drill down and show you what happened this morning in the live trading room, how that worked out, what went down. On a smaller volume YM chart, you can see that we went from the opening bell, we went from the bottom of the zone to the top of the zone, and then in one bar on that news, bottom of the zone to the top of the zone to the bottom of the zone. Now we're just kind of hanging out right in the middle. So, Michael, it's all yours, my friend. And this is Michael B., who will do the live trading room recap. And when he is finished, we will go to our friend David Williams at PageTrader.com. We'll talk to our friend Michael X. We had just so much positive feedback yesterday from that interview and that conversation. Really an enjoyable time. And so I don't know, Michael X, if you're listening in at this point, but we do thank you for your time and your willingness to answer questions. And I got to just, before you get started, Michael, I got to send a shout-out to my new friend, David the Surfer, down in Brazil. I was sitting at my desk yesterday afternoon, and all of a sudden the little chat box popped up, and I was like, hey, what's going on, man? And he says, you know, I was thinking about you. Okay. He goes, you said something at the beginning of your broadcast yesterday about how someone was giving you some kind of hard time or being judgmental about you or whatever the case. And he said, you know, I just wanted to tell you to be encouraged and to shake it off, because I really appreciate everything that you guys do, and I just wanted to say thank you. And you know what? I had like 19 different things going on, all in different directions, and that stopped me dead in my tracks that somebody would sit down and take the time to reach out to, you know, a perfect stranger, me, a disembodied voice. And I was very touched by that. And so, if I can keep my headset on, to my new friend, Surfer Dave, that's what I'll call you, Surfer Dave, down in, I was looking for the name of that little town in Brazil. I've got it on a scrap of paper here somewhere. It must have gone in one of those 19 directions that I didn't intend for it to. All right, we'll just call it Brazil for now. But, David, thank you. That was very encouraging, and I do appreciate it. All right, Michael, it's all yours, I promise.
All right. I'll just grab it then. I already have the charts, right?
Yes, you do.
So you guys should be watching my charts.
Yes, we are.
Let me just make sure my audio is working properly. I get my questions up here where I can see them. And, all right, I will get going. It's 12:21. David is in the green room, so hopefully my clients will be nearby as well. All right, here we go. I'm going to start the recording right now. All right, good afternoon, everyone. Today is Thursday, March 1st, 2012. I'm going to show you what happened in the live trading room this morning. All right. I ended up break even on the morning, personally. I started with the Russell. Let me bring up my Russell Dom. I started with the Russell, and I lost a couple of trades, and then I won a couple of trades, and then I stayed out of it because it got really messy in there. But where is my Russell Dom? It's way over here now. In the break period, I had to reboot, so all the stuff that I drew on my charts this morning is now gone. But zero ticks. I am break even. That is the Russell. I didn't take any trades in here on the 6E this morning. You know, this morning was really choppy for me, so I pretty much just stayed out of the market. After I tried to trade the Russell this morning, and it was jumping around quite a bit. And I'll show you what happened with that. I'll go through the trade setups with you on that. The ES this morning, the 4-tick range, we didn't really have any opportunity in there. The only spot where we would have had opportunity was right here, where we dropped outside the box, put in a lower swing pivot, pulled back up to the BBC outside the box. You see we had just barely had a fresh bubble down here. Right there, the red got outside the black, pulled back up to the BBC, and it moved down from here at the BBC. The entry would have been 68 even after the slip. It went down to 66.75. My stop would have been a break-even. I would have gotten a break-even on that trade had I taken it, but I did not take it. I did not see it. After that, it got inside the zones in here, and the BBC was having a hard time getting outside the box, and so there were just no trades available in there. Now, I'm sliding over here to the center. On the 10,000 contract right now, let me scroll back a little bit. We had right here at the open, it pulled back down to the BBC right here on top of resistance inside the weekly trading zone. I wasn't going to take that trade. The 2100 looked just like it. I didn't take either one of those trades because they're going into another zone. Right in here, 10 o'clock is when news came out and Bernanke started talking over here, and this area was really choppy. He was a little late getting to the microphone this morning. But there was some news here that was bearish news and pushed the market down a little bit. We didn't have any trade opportunities in here. I suppose we had, well, even right in here, it still wasn't great because we had support down below us, so we weren't looking to short there. Once we had a bullish cross of the MA1 over the BBC, it pulled back down to the BBC right here, but it had resistance right up above it. Again, no trade. Over here, same thing. Support right below, no trade. Over here, it never pulled away from the BBC, and now we're into our break right here. All right, so there was nothing there on the ES. I'm going to look at the 500 contract on the YM. We didn't take any trades on the YM this morning. Right here at the very open of the market, okay, at the very open of the market, I couldn't take that right there. Hold on a second, I'm just checking to see the list of everyone who's in it. Oh, Michael J. I couldn't take that trade, but I didn't take that trade right there. It was right at the open, a little before the open, actually. A pre-market trade to the BBC inside the weekly trading zone. The BBC inside the weekly trading zone is usually a nice place to take a bounce trade. Unfortunately, I didn't take it. I wasn't there to take it. Price moved up to the next weekly trading zone, pulled back down to the BBC again. This isn't the first pullback. I prefer the first pullback, and this was going right into a weekly trading zone, so I didn't take this, though it did work. Over here, same thing. It was going right into a weekly trading zone. Over here, again, the same thing. This one worked. It went right up into the zone. This one didn't go anywhere. We had a bearish cross, pulled back to the BBC, again going into the zone. You know, and once again, right here, this one would have been something that we could have taken had I been here to take it. Because the zone is actually a little ways away. The zone's up there at 13,000. And so yeah, there's a little bit of room in here. There's 22 ticks from the entry that we could have gotten out of that. Let's see. I want to jump over here on the 4-tick range. I'm going to go over some things that we went over in last week's partners meeting. The 4-tick range had some opportunity this morning, but I wasn't really taking any trades in here because of the way the market was acting. Was just jumping all over the place. And after having a little trouble with the Russell this morning at the start, I decided to just sit on my hands and let the thing play out by itself. All right. Let's see. What we're looking for here is for the black and the red and blue to be on the opposite sides. As soon as they do that, then you want to close. In this case, an up close would work. So the up close would have been right here for a move up. When you just have divergence like this, then you need to close above the MA1, which was right there, for the move up, opposite side. So you're looking at the close right there for the move up. Right here, you just have divergence, but this was right at a news event, so we weren't trading anything right there. It worked, but we're just going to pass through about 5 minutes of charts right here. You see there all those bars. Let me blow this up so you guys can see how crazy it is on a 4-tick range bar. Or how crazy it can be at a news event. All these bars between right here and right here were all in 1 minute. Okay? So that was on the news event at 10 o'clock. Now, let's get beyond all that. We'll blow it up a little bit more so you can see what was going on. Right here, they were on opposite sides, so you're looking for a down close. Now, I have the CFTC on the chart right here, so you can't really tell which bar is a down close, but it was this one right here. Okay, that was a down close. Over here, you would be looking for an up close. This one didn't work. Right there was the up close, and that turned against it. Right here, you had full divergence. You didn't have the opposite side of the street thing going on, so you needed a close under the MA1, which was right there. And now we're getting into our break period here, but we had another one where you needed a close above the MA1, which was right there. Okay. And that's pretty much it on the YM. The 4-tick range had the most opportunity this morning of all the YM and ES charts. The 4-tick range on the YM was the one with the opportunity. I'll bring the Russell over. And I know my combo looks a little different than it normally does. I'll point out trades that I took. If I can, I'll point out trades that I took. I think I went long right here. I went long right here, and I lost 6 ticks, I think. And I went short right here. And I believe I got a break even on that. I went short over here. And I lost a few ticks. 6 ticks again, I believe. Then there was another short in here. I went short in here and I made some of it back. I went short again over here. I made some of it back. And then I didn't do anything for a while here. Okay. There were plenty of trade setups in here. You know, there were a lot of opportunities in here, but I didn't do anything in here. I'll show you more for the partners or anybody who's in here who's on a free trial who wants to get into the partners meeting tonight. You should email me at tech@cfrn.net, and I'll let you know what you need to do to get in there. I'm going to go over all this Russell stuff tonight. I ended yesterday. I ended the day yesterday after about an hour and a half of trading on the Russell. I did the morning session that you guys saw. I was up 47 ticks per contract after the morning session. And I had only traded about an hour in the morning session yesterday. And I traded about another half an hour in the afternoon, pretty close to the last half hour of the day I traded. And I ended up plus 66 ticks. Yeah, plus 66 ticks per contract on the Russell yesterday. And I'm going to go over tonight, how to see these trades when they're happening. Okay. Not all of them are home runs. As a matter of fact, some of them don't even win, but there's definitely a ton of opportunity. Okay, so I'm going to go over all that tonight. You see where I'm drawing the arrows? I'll point out tonight in the partners meeting to all the partners. I'll clean this up some too, but I'll show you how to set it up so you have all the stuff in the right place. There really only needs to be one or two lines down here, or maybe two or three lines down here, not one, two, three. It doesn't need to be four. Okay. That will be something to look forward to for the partners. Okay. And I'm just pointing out all the places where there were potential entries. Though I didn't take any more. Right over here, I think, is where I had just gotten to break even on the day. It was right over here. And I didn't take any more of these trades in here. There's one right now, actually. One right now from right there that's still working. It's working kind of slow. The MA1 seems to be holding it. If the MA1's going to hold it, then you probably just want to get out of the trade or lock in some profit. All right. So that would probably have been a break-even trade for me had I been trading it rather than making a recording of trades that I did take. All right, I'm going to slide that over, and I'll go to the... I'll go to the 6E500 contract. This morning, again, was an unusual morning for the 6E, not in that it had a lot of losing trades, and just that it didn't have many trades at all. Now, usually the 6E has a bunch of trades, but today we're looking for the white to be to the left of the green and moving up. Okay, so right in there. Well, it closed above the MA1 as well. But down, let's see, over here, the white was not to the left of the green. Over here, not to the left. Over here, not to the left. Over here, it was to the left just a little bit. Okay, so that would have given you a long trade right in there that obviously would not have worked out. Over here, it was to the left, going right into a zone, but it was to the left anyway. You would have gotten your money back on that. The next move up is right here. You see how it's going back and forth over this zone that it's in right here? Back and forth and back and forth over that zone. I'm not even sure if that's the proper zone. I think it is, but over here, a little move up right there, and then the white was to the left of the green on the move down over here. So that's where it stands right now, moving down. That was pretty much it on the morning session. Does anybody have any questions about any of this at all? I know I just went over a whole bunch of things, and the partners will get to see a lot more tonight in the partners meeting. Everybody else that's in here, if you haven't taken a free trial, go to cfrn.net/apply. Right, that's cfrn.net. It's www.cfrn.net/apply. Right, that should show up in your little box there. If anybody has any questions, you can email me directly at tech@cfrn.net. Okay. And Dwayne just threw in the link to be to grab the toolbar that we have, the CFRN toolbar. We recommend everybody grab that toolbar. Excuse me. Everybody grab the toolbar as well. It's got, I'll just slide it over here and show it to you. It's got all kinds of stuff in here. This is the toolbar right here. You can click here to bring up the CFRN radio. Click here to go right to the CFRN website. Click here to go right to all the podcasts. Go to Facebook, Twitter, call the market, join the stream. This goes to a page on the website. This goes right to all my emails. you can tweet about the page, and you can add stuff from Amazon. There's all this space over here that's left for future development with this. Okay.
Recording?
This will make it pretty easy for you guys. Go ahead, Dwayne.
Are you still recording?
I am.
Okay, I'll let you finish recording because I know it doesn't pick up my voice. So go ahead.
Okay. All right. Actually, it may pick up your voice because I'm doing it with a different thing now. I think it actually does now. But anyway.
Then just drag okay. That thing back if you could for a minute.
There we go.
Click on the radio.
Click on my radio. Right here.
I want my good friend Burton Schlichter to see this. Might even get him out of his cave. Click on that DT Pro logo there.
Now watch this. See that?
Boom, baby. That's for you, Bert.
There it is, Bert.
Built it right in for you, man.
Yeah. Wow, that's nice.
Yeah. See that?
Okay. Back it up again, Michael. I don't think he got the full effect of it.
Okay, let me
you
back
need
it
some
up.
Music. You need there some music when you do it. Like it's got to be like an intro.
Well, so the radio's playing in the background. You just can't hear it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But the radio right now is us, so.
Yeah, the radio right now. The radio right now is us. I just had to shut it off.
But seriously, guys, if you want to take a trial of the DT Pro platform itself, the indicators, the charts, all the data feeds from lumber to livestock to Yassi mini futures and the euro and every forex pair, if you click that, go to this page, fill it out. Bert, correct me if I'm wrong. Within 15 minutes, they'll have data streaming on their desktop.
Yes, I think that's a fair statement.
No, it really is, because I did it on a Saturday afternoon when I knew that nobody would be in the office at Daniel's Trading. And so I thought, it was on my wife's laptop downstairs. I said, let me just walk through this process because it's been a while since I walked through it. And let me just make sure everything's still working properly. And while there was no live data flowing because the markets were closed, it installed. I had charts. I had historical data. I could apply indicators. And it was a Saturday afternoon. It's a completely automated process, guys. Now, the good news is if you have any issues or hiccups along the way, you can call Bert toll-free, 866-928-3310. Don't call the number on the screen. They'll just act all confused. Call Bert because he knows what he's doing. Let me rephrase that. Everybody at Daniel's Trading knows what they're doing. Bert knows in particular about the CFRN indicators. So that's why I'm saying if you call him, 866-928-3310, any of the brokers there, they're all very qualified and they can help you with getting your chart set up. But Bert knows specifically how to get your CFRN indicators onto the chart, working properly. He's been working with our partners now for, Bert, has it been 2 years since you and I met?
Yeah, I think it's been 2 years. Four scores and 7 years ago.
Life is good, you know?
Life is good, brother. Brother Dwayne, it is.
You know, and sometimes, and we talk about fate, and can you escape it? Can you not escape it? Is there predestiny? You know, I had a guy, a friend, who had been listening to this radio program since my maiden broadcast, when I had no idea, when I broke the airwaves, if anybody would be on the other end listening, besides God, and my wife. I knew she was at home listening. I didn't know if anybody else would be there. It's like, hello, world. And this guy was there.
Hi, I'm Dwayne.
And we became good friends over the years. And he started telling me about, hey, I met this really cool guy, Bert Schlichter, and I really think you should call and talk to him because I think he might be a great addition to your radio program. And I said, yeah, okay. Cause, I mean, I get those emails every day, you know. But he was so persistent. And Richard, I don't think you're tuned in anymore, and that makes me sad. But anyway, he just was, it was like a river over time, how it carves out a canyon. He was just so persistent. Every couple weeks, did you call Bert yet? Did you call Bert yet? Did you call Bert yet? And he had no vested interest in putting us together other than the fact that he thought there would be good synergy between us because he had met you and he knew me and he thought these two need to meet each other. And so he kept at it until one day, I honestly, literally kind of out of just, okay, dude. So I reached out and the rest is e-mini history. So...
And I, you know, aside from that, I met David 10 years ago, 11 years ago, no, maybe even 15 years ago. And I didn't know it until he brought it up 6 months ago. He goes, you know, back in 2001, I have a sheet of paper that says, Bert Schlichter from Lynn Waldock. And I said, what? So, anyways, yeah, I think actually there is some fate in all that.
Yeah.
I believe in that. Okay.
It's a small,
on that note,
it's a really, right, it's a really small world, but I would still hate to have to paint it. So,
yeah.
All right, Michael, are you still recording and recapping, or
I was right up until Bert paused in his statement about David.
Oh,
he said I met David in 2001, and that's where it ended. I stopped it there.
Keep them on the edge of their seats. See, they'll tune in tomorrow to find out what happened next. That's good. That's great. For those of you that don't know, we have 150 videos on our YouTube channel. We talked about this yesterday. Good, bad, or ugly. we actually not only do it out in the open, we then record it, and we actually put it out for the public. YouTube.com/eMiniFuturesTrading. How clever, right? YouTube.com/eMiniFuturesTrading. Go there, 143, 40. Once Michael gets caught up, 150 videos, okay? And they're not all just daily recaps. Some are about the indicators. Some about some other stuff. And for our partners in the training library, or in the partners area in our video training library, we now have, I believe, well over 100 hours of video training that is available to all of the partners. So I mention that because we do have a partners meeting tonight. And if you've been on the free trial and you want to become a partner, just send an email to support@cfrn.net and we'll make that happen for you. Okay, Michael, they've been waiting patiently, right. And I don't want to cut you off, and I don't know how I can do both.
I'm good. You can bring David in. David and Michael X, if you want to bring him in, we're good.
Y'all ready for this?
All ready.
All right. Bert, anything you want to add? You going to hang around and talk to us? Now, you're a broker. You got to have some great questions for Michael X. Yes? No? Okay. That Bert, he is so slippery, man. We got to put a bell on that cat. You just never know when he's there. All right.
I know.
All right. The FCC says we have to pause for a brief station identification. Not really. And then we'll be right back.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310, and we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Morning, Dwayne.
David, good morning, sir. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Let me just make sure. I'm just getting Michael's phone set up. Hope we're good to go there. Can you hear me okay, Dwayne?
I think you have one of your special effects turned on, like the underwater or the cave or the... sewer pipe.
How's this? It's a little bit better.
That is.
Fixed that real pretty, like, didn't I?
Kinda. Yeah. No. Okay, I'm the last to complain about somebody's audio quality. Dude, you sound awesome.
Yeah. Aw. You've had some problems with that, but no, your audio has been sounding good, so you're good to go.
Well, thank you.
Well, good morning. So let's see. We've got quite a bit we can talk about today. First of all, I'd like to thank everybody for their questions to Michael yesterday. He's here with us today, and he's trading right next to us here at Page Trader, and we're going to have him on in just a few moments here. He's not a man of a million words like I am or like you are, Dwayne, but the words he does say are worthy of consideration and some thought. So we'll have him on a little bit here. And we won't take too much of your time up here either, Dwayne, today. If you want to, we can get right into the markets, or is there some news that you want to cover briefly?
No, nothing that I haven't already talked about. I do want to see somebody type something into the chat box. Michael, I seem to have lost the chat box. Do you see the chat box?
Nobody's typed anything in. I have mine, and there's just nothing in it.
Can somebody give me a hello world?
There we go.
I got a pulse.
There we go. We got a couple of them in there.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Appreciate that. Yeah, because usually you guys are just chatting it up in there, and then when it goes silent like that, you're like, oh. Okay. All right. So, yeah, we're working. We're streaming. So, David, whatever market you want to jump into, let's just do it.
Let's just start with the S&P. We have... you know, we can take just a quick minute to review. We've been talking about this for quite some time. Going back to the monthly reflected wave, I talked about the month of October being a bottom.
And we had forecast that this bottom would be much, much stronger than usual. A usual bottom would have taken us up to 1250, 1260 level, where a lot of traders had shorted it, and some of them probably did okay with that because there was a reaction. But we had forecast that the market, the trend would continue higher into March, substantially higher. And we've gotten that substantial increased move on the upside, as we talked about and as you've talked about as well. We are now in March. Today is the first day of March, and we are going to expect to see new highs in the month of March, as we've talked about. I don't think it's going to come 1 month early at all. In other words, we would have to break above 1377.25 in the month of March. And we may do it sooner rather than later. I'm not forecasting that, but I'm just assuming that that will probably be the case. I wouldn't be surprised to see a powerful move up from here, like as an example, something that would take us substantially higher yet again. So this is why we've been telling people on the radio program and our own customers, et cetera, to be very careful about short positions, to not leave them on the overnight, to don't get excited about the short side yet until we get into March. And I'm hoping that people were, that it was useful information to people. I still think it's useful information now because the market wants to go higher before we go lower. So I like the idea of buying pullbacks or higher prices in this market. And that's our basic outlook on the S&P. We've talked about the two main levels, the 73, which we're trading at now, and then 83.84, which would be the first level on the upside that we would expect to see. But that doesn't mean the market's going to stop at that level. It simply is a target that was that needs to be, we think, needs to be completed and potentially exceeded. So here we are in March, and the market is still very strong. We could, you know, we could talk about or think about the kind of news that might be coming out that's going to reverse the market. But before we do that, the market still has real room on the upside to finish up this move. If we're wrong about that, if it turns out that the market just fails here and goes down, then fair enough. We protected, or hopefully did protect, people from being short up to this point. There'll be plenty of opportunities on the downside, but I do like the idea that I do like the fact actually that we're in March and that higher prices are likely. I would not at all be surprised to see us reach 1400 or higher before this is over. That's not a forecast directly for that, but I'm simply saying that I do expect further advance here, in spite of the fact that it's really been a very powerful long advance. It's not over yet, as far as we're concerned, and I think you have to be very careful until you see the soup get cooked here. You know, I mean, the market really starts to boil, because this has been a very slow grinding move up since, as we talked about the other day, Dwayne, the January 3rd breakout. Since then, the market has been in a very unusual configuration for the S&P, which looks more like a 5-minute or a 60-minute chart, but it's actually a daily chart. And that type of movement happens when a much larger force is at work, and that force would then take us up into March, as we talked about. So I like the idea of being long. We, as you know, trade in commodities and in the equity market as well. I just spoke to Dane today about our positions, and he wanted to know if he should take. We have a lot of puts that we sold. These are option positions, and we're still holding them. And whether we should take any of them off. And my reaction was none should be taken off at this point until we get a breakout and new highs in March. And then we can start thinking about what we want to do with those positions. So we're holding our equity positions, our actual stock positions, and we're holding those puts that we sold. It may seem dangerous to be selling puts in a market like this, but it didn't seem dangerous at all to us, and we could have been wrong, but it just didn't seem dangerous given the number of indications that the market was going higher that we had in October, and substantially higher. So you know, we still feel the same way, even at these levels, that much higher prices are likely. So keep that in mind, and I think that's it, unless you have something you'd like to add or say about it yourself, Blaine, or Michael.
Michael, you got anything?
I don't have anything.
Okay.
You know, I just trade what's in front of me. I don't hold things very long at all.
We're sitting here in front of this.
That's adorable, Michael.
We're sitting here in front of this, right in this 72-73 weekly zone, David, where we ran right back up to yesterday, and now we're back at that again. And do we have one more weekly trading zone overhead for the week? We do. And do we have one final day of trading left in this week? We do. And so based on what you just said and the fact that we already are into March and you believe that the top will come in the first half of March.
So far, that's the indication. Yes.
Yeah, so I'm just saying in no way do I rule out the possibility that we could, you know, see this number by the close of the market tomorrow.
Did you give that number out or do you not want to give that out?
No, it's on the screen.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't have your screen up just a second.
Oh, yeah. 79.
Okay, I got you. Yeah. Okay, see it there. That's good. Well, good. That's and that's right very close to our 83 as well. We'll see how that plays out. But, yeah, no, they're real strong. They're very comfortable up at these levels. Bank stocks are very strong today from what Michael told me. I'm not watching these individually, but is that the case, Michael? Banks are very strong today. Because bonds have dropped so much. And let's take a look at bonds, because this is something that we had forecast a couple of days ago. Some of our institutional traders took good advantage of this for the downside in bonds. And as you know, we've had a longer-term outlook for a big down move in bonds. And that hasn't happened yet. Nothing about this is big yet. we had forecast on your program that the date of February 28th would mark a top in bonds, and that we wanted to see them touch 144.13. This is the March contract, and if you want, I can go out, but that's the outgoing March contract. They did touch that price. They went to 144.14. Look at that. They actually went right to that, 144.13, 144.14. And we said if they did that and closed below that, then you should short the bonds. We've had a very sharp decline off of this. The reason we liked this as a short is because any one of these tops that reflected wave is calling would then indicate that would be the potential top, the last top that you would see before the bigger breakout on the downside. So that's why we've been selling short. We haven't been, but our institutional clients have sold short on bonds on just about every one of these tops that we've called. The last one was on January 31st. That top had the potential. This top also has the potential into tomorrow of breaking to new lows and setting into motion the larger top that is going to go down and put pressure on interest rates. And as I said many times, I'll just repeat it again, if you're thinking about refinancing your house or your car or your life or your wife, it would be a good time to consider that sooner rather than later, because even though the government fully intends on keeping interest rates relatively low, the word relative is really the key. They're not going to be at this rate for a long time, possibly decades. So, you know, think of whatever your age is. These interest rates that we're seeing now may not be here for a long, long, long time after this top gets put in. At the very least, we're looking for many, many quarters of the market going lower. That is the bond market going lower, which puts pressures on interest rates to go higher. The government can do all kinds of things to limit the amount of pressure that there is on interest rates to go higher in response to the bond market going lower. And so they may be able to keep them reasonable, but they're not going to keep them at the current rates. So once this breakout occurs, that is, you know, on the downside. So the bond market is what it is right now. We've had a nice move down. This was a decent trade. And into tomorrow, because today is an important date, as long as by tomorrow we don't, you know, break out on the downside, then we're probably going to be in a position for another advance and then yet again another short sale. So the market has its opportunity right now. Excuse me, it's imminent that the market has an opportunity to break out on the downside between today and tomorrow. Worst case, Monday at the latest. on this decline. And if they can't do it, then we have another bounce and we'll be selling short on that. So that is the story on the bond market, and we're sticking to that. Then we also have gold, which we forecast yesterday would make a bottom today, plus or minus a day. And it so far looks as if gold put in the bottom one unit early, which was yesterday, February 29th. Today's March 1st. If the market firms up, and it has today, then I like the idea. And if we open tomorrow decently, I like the idea of just buying gold. Just buy the silly thing. And this is the time and place to do it. You could do it now. You may have to sit through a little bit because we're in the on-time day, but I like the position of the market. As I mentioned to you, we had forecast that the market would continue to advance recently up to 17. This is now basis April, $17.92. $17.88 to $17.92 on the upside, and that would be resistance for this market and for a decline. And I also mentioned in the program that we took some of our position, about 4% of our gold and silver position, off based on this. And what I said on that day, which was several days ago, was that because we like to take it off at levels where the market could have a strong reaction, and that could be the last time we see those highs for some time. Well, that's exactly what happened here. So what one of the nice things is we now we're sitting through the pullback, which we've done so many times with this longer term position, but we did book some up at 1787 and we're down now at 1718. So by getting out on the way up, not on the way down, but getting out on the way up, we protected our position and we're still in it for the potential for higher prices.
Now, will you additionally potentially add?
Yes, actually, we talked about adding today. We intended to add when they put in the monthly bottom that we had forecast, but we did not trade it, and it got away from us. It actually occurred 1 month early. The on-time month was January,
and
it came in December.
Right here, yeah.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah, and it just got away from us. We just were not able to add to our position. Now, this is a much shorter-term bottom, but I would be interested in adding, and I told Dane this morning to later in the day that we would consider adding the amount that we just took off, the 4%, back into the position so that we're here for another multi-day advance here. So, yes, we are considering adding, and I didn't want to do it until later in the day, like after this in the second half of the trading session. So that's what we're going to do with that position. And if there's any other comment about that, Dwayne, or any question about that?
Hey, David, it's Bert.
Yes, Bert.
There is a question in the box which I think is important. Is there a level to the downside that would alter it?
Yes, actually, there is. I think, I mentioned this yesterday, that I'm okay with the market. Ultimately, I would have preferred to see the market stay above 1706 on yesterday's close, but it didn't matter because the market is allowed, or not allowed, but we're comfortable with it all the way down to 1679.
Mm-hmm.
So now that's quite a move. That's a decent little chunk there. I don't think we have that risk in play, or we have less of that risk for 1769 in play. If we were to close today above 1706 and open tomorrow above 1706, I think the likelihood would be that we will be in the market, if not late today, but early tomorrow, back in. So I don't mind the market all the way down to that 1679 level for this pullback.
David,
has been quite a pullback. That's 100 points.
Yeah.
Is this the market.
Daily bottom? Is this a daily bottom?
Yeah, this is daily. This is just, it's not a huge long-term thing, but we are in a much larger uptrend off the bigger bottom. And, we do also, by the way, one of the things that is a little bit of concern here is that, like several markets, we put in a weekly top mm-hmm. this week in the gold. There's several other markets that have done the same thing that we forecast for euro. so this daily bottom is only going to be good for a bounce intra-week and with the potential of then further decline over the next couple of weeks. So I do want to make that clear that this is simply a daily bottom with the likelihood of a multi-week movement on the downside. won't, it doesn't mean the trend, the big trend up and that everything's done with gold, but it is very important to consider that some of the uncertainty, well, you know, I'm not a news guy, but some of the uncertainty that makes a market like gold rally has been, some has been mitigated by just the fact that the economy is getting better. There isn't a lot of stabilization in the Middle East, but, you know, again, I'm not a news guy, but there's just a bet, the uncertainty isn't as great as it was. I just am being careful with gold. I'm not a guy that believes gold's going to $2,500, but I'm not ruling it out, but we're not forecasting that. In fact, we're not really forecasting much with gold. We're basically trend following it. So because there is a weekly top in place, any bounce that we get off this daily bottom is going to be temporary, and there'll be a much more important buying territory later if the market sets itself up that way for us to really reposition ourselves in a bigger way for further advance. Because a new high could occur. There's no question that could happen. But as it stands right now, I'm glad we got out of what we got out of, and we'll wait to see how this daily low gets put in place. But the bigger picture is the weekly top. So I would expect to see sideways to lower for 2 to 3 weeks here in gold overall. Okay? So we have a daily bottom, sideways to lower.
Hey, Dwayne, do me a favor. Can you pull up an hourly on the chart?
Yes, sir. I sure can. Here we go.
I do trade gold, and I want to point some things out.
Okay.
So draw the trend line off the bottom there, off the two lows.
Okay.
And then draw that, expand it as a trend channel up, so it's congruent, right?
Okay, you want me to come right off the bottom here? Is that what you want?
There you go, and then just expand it. So what you're doing is you're building a trend channel right now, okay? So take that same one, right, and then...
Yeah, let me go ahead and...
flag it out.
Send it out there.
Just copy it.
And then, this is...
There we go.
Point to all this. Sorry, guys.
Now I can do it. Mm-hmm. Okay, we got the exact same angle.
Yeah, all right, now... All right, so David, if we break out of this range here, let's say we hold 1,700, what would be your daily objective on this, roughly?
Did we lose David?
David?
I'm sorry, Bert, did you say, no, I was just wondering, did you mean the daily advance? What is our objective? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, what would be the daily?
I haven't come up with a number for that. If we do, I think it's just a reasonable advance right now. Possibly. Give me a minute here. I mean, this is just an initial target would certainly be in the 1736 range.
Okay.
You know, a nice little something, just reasonable, just not a big huge move. Beyond that, then I would be, you know, if we got beyond that and can close above that, I would be looking more at the 1770 range. So,
right, so, guys, look at the chart. His 32 or 36 level is fitting the pattern here, the profile. What you got is a flat top here at 17 and a quarter. So you got somewhat of an ascending triangle forming here. So if we can hold the 1700 level today and we take out 25, chances are it's going to fulfill David's forecast target.
Yeah, it's a general target. Yeah.
And this would be generally speaking, but also keep in mind too, this could be what you're seeing here in a larger picture is potentially a bear flag. So what David's referring to is this might be a minor low for the time being, so don't be a pig about it on the way up. But actually I would actually be more inclined to look for lower prices like David's looking at. And then if you go to a daily chart, Dwayne, because I think if David's right on the weekly top here, draw the lines off the tops here, Dwayne, back here in November, because we did break a pretty hard downtrend line on the way up here.
Okay, you want to go across these tops here?
No, just go off the top, right where you had it.
Over here?
There you go. Take it off the very next top. In December.
Okay.
There you go. There you go. Draw that bad boy down all the way. All right?
So you're looking for...
So, Dave...
Okay, go ahead.
So the bottom line is this. All right? This is a powerful energy on the, off the tops here. All right? Yeah, there could be a consolidation phase, and we rally here. All right? And as David's saying, I would keep it on a short lease. Book your profits,
yes.
Trail your stops, do the things you're supposed to do. All right?
Yeah.
Big picture stuff. Yeah, David's absolutely right. We broke this downtrend line. What we could ultimately do here is we can ultimately come down and revisit the downtrend line we just broke.
Mm-hmm.
All right? In short term. So, you know, my conclusion is A, you know, look for a modest bounce. B, better protect your backside. C, keep the, you know, the profits real short. And C, if you're aggressive, you can actually look to consider going short, knowing that David's weekly top might be in play here.
Yeah, I like the idea, actually, of once this advance happens, if we do get a top, a, you know, reflected wave type of top inside this, I would surely be interested in shorting that in consideration of the weekly top that we just put in. So, I like the idea of that, but I think there's a buy signal here for us to potentially take, even though the larger top is in. You know, we've had a decent move down. The market is probably going to bounce next week before it continues lower, and that's what this bounce would be. It's a little bit more sophisticated trade because you're buying a bounce in a downtrend. Then we would want to short that top for further decline on a multi-week basis for gold. So I hope that makes sense. Might be a little confusing, but it wouldn't be the first time I've confused people now, would it?
I just wanted to make it clear that everyone should know this is a short-term target.
Yes.
Protect your backside, because if this thing breaks the downside...
Yeah, they're going to break them wide open.
They're going to break them hard, and you better be watching your back.
Right. Okay. And if you don't like the setup for it, then just stand aside for a little bit. You know, we'll take the trade from the short side later. So... but I love the gold market. It's really been a fabulous moving market, both for day trading even though we're not utilizing it that way, but definitely on the swing trading basis, just daily to weekly charts. It's been really good. And look how big yesterday. I mean, you have basically a one-day $100 move in gold.
Yeah, that was big.
Yeah.
That would be a day that Michael X would kill it because it was news-driven, you know?
Yeah, he... asked me and actually was a little, if I may say so, angry with me for, because we didn't, really bring up to him the big thing about the gold, about that, the trade that you took, the short whole thing based off of the 1788 to 92. And, that would be one of those nice trades. One of the things that he has, a skill set that I've seen him utilize a number of times is like just what you said, it's the news stuff. When the news comes out and he already has technicals backing it, he will push enormous size into the market. He plays it very, very fast and very, very sizable. Size really does matter, you know. And often when he gets that right, those positions end up being, you know, a lot of his huge gains. Because he's waiting for news, he has an idea of what the news is going to be, what it's going to do to the market. And if the technicals back that up, he really takes steps up in size on those types of things. So, you know, and that means in his world, he steps up in size. I mean, a normal trade for him is huge for any of us, he'll really step up on news. Okay, so we have gold there. Bert, any other comment on that we want to...
No, I just wanted to make it clear because, you know, as you guys know, I have a passion for gold. I trade a lot of it with Leslie.
Mm-hmm.
I know the gold market, so I know that it's emotional. So you guys better watch your back because this thing is fragile right now.
Yeah.
So that's all.
Okay, no, that's good. That's a good warning. Let's move on real quick. We'll get over to... We talked about already the Treasury bond market. We go to the euro. We had forecast that this week also would mark a top in the euro market. This is the euro. We talked on the program about the euro going down, that it had a movement that would take it from 134.88 down to, if I'm remembering my numbers correctly, 132.50 to 60, something like that. And they've so far gotten down to 132.82 on this decline off of their resistance that they had, which we wanted to see no daily close above 134.71. Some of the institutional guys grabbed this trade and they did short it. And, you know, the majority of the move has happened within 20 or so ticks, 30 ticks, and we'll see if they can finish that up. We will have something later. But the big thing with this is that this also is a weekly top. So we have gold and the euro both putting in weekly tops. So that's important. That means a multi-week decline or multi-week sideways to lower. So keep that in mind. Then we have the crude oil market, which we forecast a couple days back that it would bottom on March 1st. That low came in one day early yesterday, and the crude oil is now advancing from here. We'd expect to see them. The natural target would be about $108.60+ on the upside. They haven't quite reached that yet. We'll wait. They've gotten to 108.31, but I think there's a little more in it on the upside here.
What month are you in?
We are in April crude.
Okay.
And so
the high I show is 109.95.
Recent high was 109.95. That's correct, Dwayne. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
You got the right market.
Okay.
crude oil is used to make gasoline. And therefore, and gasoline is bought by the people who have gas stations way out in advance. So they have to do, roughly speaking, some form of forecasting because they want to buy it at prices that they can sell their whole amount of it at a profit if possible. But some gas station owners actually hedge. They actually are like farmers. They will actually use futures contracts to hedge their purchases when the oil gets very volatile. It's going to be very volatile for quite some time. Interestingly enough, I just want to mention this. We talked about the oil companies, and I've railed a little bit on the program about the conspiracy theorist thing about, you know, the oil companies would, anybody who comes up with something that would make gasoline, you know, less valuable, that they would come in and make that go away. You know, the electric car industry is coming, hybrids have been coming. Nothing, they haven't even tried. I mean, nothing of the kind has happened. They're just going to have to change their business model. But one of the things that has happened is they've come out with a forecast that only about 5% of the population would be driving, hybrids or pure electric cars that don't use gasoline at all by the year 2030. And at first that seems like that, boy, that's a really long time away. A lot's going to happen between now and then. And then as we looked at their forecast, we thought, you know, that it's possible that actually is the case. There's about 266,000 registered 266 million registered cars, something like that, in America. So that means that 5% of that would be 11 million cars being all electric. And it seems to me that it would dent their bottom line dramatically if only 2% of the people that are here in America were driving. You know, that would be 5 million people that were saving potentially $300 a month. That's a lot of money that they wouldn't be getting. So I think, although their forecast may be correct, I think it's going to hurt them long before it gets to 5%. When you have 6 million or 5 million cars on the road that aren't using gasoline at all, that's a whole bunch of money that they're not getting. I mean, there's no two ways about it. It doesn't have to be 5%. 2% could really hurt if they saw that drop in their revenues. And then further, there's a new company that came out called Envia that has supposedly made a breakthrough, and some of it's been confirmed by independent laboratories that their batteries may be able to, by 2015, be in a production car that has a 300-mile range. Well, the oil company certainly didn't count on that because the density of their battery, the energy density and the range and all that stuff, that's literally as much as three times what the battery ranges are now, and they're able to demonstrate it today. They're actually able to demonstrate that their battery has that energy density to allow a car of reasonable weight to do 300 miles. And, you know, once you get over the range that anybody could ever imagine driving in a day, that's when everybody's going to want them. everyone's going to want to buy one. So there has been a breakthrough, apparently, and there's a lot of talk about it, and you can check it out for yourself. I think the company is Envia, E-N-V-I-A. You can check out. GM owns a piece of them now, and they're getting a lot of interest because of their breakthrough on battery technology. We're going to see more and further breakthroughs in battery technology. This one, I can't see the oil companies having expected that. If we have 300-mile range cars, even by 2016, then I'm going to make a prediction here that it's going to be more than 5% of the people driving an electric car long before 2030. So I don't think they were expecting this type of breakthrough. If it follows through and really completes, it's going to be a different world than the oil companies were planning. And I think even 2% is going to be a dramatic, you know, that puts the hurt on them. And they're going to have to get into the electricity business or something in order to, you know, do something. They have to change their business model because they're not going to be able to, for you conspiracy theorists, they're not going to be able to stop this. There's a war going on, and it's not between the oil companies and the people doing this. The war is between the battery manufacturers and the automakers rushing as fast as they can to get these things into production and to be able to make them mass market appealable. So they're not very expensive. They have long ranges and all that stuff. And with this breakthrough that Envia did with lithium ion, it has to do with their anode and cathode, and they made some different changes. It potentially is going to triple the range, which is, you know, unbelievably huge breakthrough right now, because we're just getting into the electric car, you know, business now, so to speak. So that's really big. Let me click through here, and then we have the crude. I think that is everything there except for the soybeans. Let's also take a look at the soybean market. Not a lot to add to soybeans. We originally had we repeated this several days, the 1274 level, or in the May contract. We talked about the market getting to $12.76. If they closed above that, then the market would have a good run up to 1308 or higher. They've done that. we're still way up there. I don't have any new forecast on that right now. But what I do have with me is Michael, Trader X. He's with us today, and he's going to say just a little bit. He's not a man of a lot of words, so let's see if we can get him to come online.
He's not the 6 million word man like...
He's not a 6 million word man like you. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Good, David. How are you doing?
Good. And that's Dwayne there.
Hey, Dwayne.
Hey, Michael. Welcome to the show.
We also have Bert Schlichter from Daniels Trading.
Hey, Bill.
Bert.
Bert.
That's all right. How you doing, Mike?
How about that? How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks.
Very nice. Thank you.
Michael, do you want to say anything about the markets today or anything that you're doing?
I'm just along here from around 1369, hoping for a little push up here to test these recent highs and highs from yesterday, possibly. That's all I'm doing right now.
Say okay. That again?
Mikey asked you to say that again.
Could you say it again, please?
Can you say that again, what you just said?
Oh, I said I was long from 1369.
Okay.
In minis.
Okay, 1369. All right. And
I'm taking some off here above 73. Okay. I'm kind of staggered up here to 73 to near yesterday's highs.
So basically just using yesterday's highs as a target point for the market. You know, he, like many others, if I just can say this, is not real comfortable with the long side of the market. But through a series of drug-induced hypnotic experiments that I've put on him, I've got him to believe that it's possible that the market could go higher.
And looking at reflective wave is kind of keeping me in this thing a little bit higher.
Okay. And do you have an upside target?
Yeah, so looking for some higher prices.
What would it take right now, Michael, for you to just pull the plug on this trade? You mentioned 73, but will you continue to stay into it?
I'm taking some off at 73, okay. 50, 73, and I have some staggered up here to yesterday's highs. I'll try and stay in some of it as long as I can, moving my stops up.
Now, that was one of the questions that we had emailed in today. In fact, let me go from our friend David in Brazil, who's on the beach watching the waves. As a trade moves in his favor with core position, how does he handle his trailing stop placement? Or does he just keep getting, you know, in and out with the trend to the target?
Okay. Well, I mean, just looking at the chart now, and I usually use the last major pullbacks to determine where my main stop would be. If the market keeps accelerating up, I like to sell as it goes up. I can peel off my position as it's moving up,
mm-hmm.
and using any consolidation or recent highs. If it's breaking out these highs right now from today, the further it extends from these highs, then I would use that high or below that high, or last recent high, as a stop for my trailing of what I have left. I may decide, depending on how strong it closes, to use the last major consolidation pullback as my ultimate out. Of course, you know, it's coming to the week. Let's say it was Friday. If it's coming to Friday, then I'm taking the risk that I can't put that stop back out there until Sunday night. So it's taking more risk. But today, if it finishes up pretty strong, I'll carry some to tomorrow.
Okay, and
I'll be buying reflective wave pullbacks now that it's broken out. I'll be definitely looking at reflective wave to get into pullbacks to add to my position on pullbacks. It's a very valuable tool that I use.
Okay, all right. So now let me get this straight. You'll peel some off taking profits, and at the same
Correct.
Time be scaling back in.
On a pullback.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, so
all right. I understand
looking
that.
Looking at the market.
Okay.
Yeah. If the market is showing you how strong it is now, and it consolidated and broke out again, how many pullbacks back to any of the consolidation I would buy it, especially because I'm scaling out of some, so I'll definitely add back in at a lower price.
I do want to throw something in here real quick, Dwayne, because it can be a little confusing. He will trade very quickly in and out of positions, and sometimes has a second account, sometimes an account that's just purely for a certain type of position, long or short. And so he's doing a lot sometimes in a given trade. He can actually, you know, have short positions on in one account to do the pullback. Mm-hmm. He has a long position in another account that he's still holding or might have booked some. You know, right, am I correct about that?
That's true. I will use another account. If I want to hold a core position, I think the market's going to go much higher. For instance, this morning we had a bigger pullback. So if buying some down, if I get some down near the lows, I'll definitely try and hold one of those positions for a much larger gain. But if I see some interim resistance points that I feel like I can scalp, that it's going to pull back between certain consolidation areas. If there's a few points in there, then I may put a short on just to scalp a very tight stop above. For instance, like this morning's high was 73.50, so I did short this morning, and shorted again when it got up near the highs before. In the last pullback, I decided that the market was too strong, so got out of my position and got long.
That's right. Early this morning, Dwayne, when we got up to the 73 level, he had popped on right then and there, several hundred, just whooshed right into the market. And then we had a nice move down, and, you know, then it's gotten quiet again. But, you know, we've now broken above, let me just see here. Yeah, we've broken above. We've gotten up to 74.75.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming that your next target, Michael, is going to be somewhere closer to the recent high at 77.
Yes.
You know, if we get up there, you want to hold something in case they just run this. The thing I like about what I'm seeing here, just I know we have Michael, I just want to mention, is that we're in the month of March, and we're not that far from making a new high, which is what I am expecting to see in the month of March. So go ahead. We can continue with questions for him, Mike.
I heard Bert start to ask a question there a moment ago.
No, I was just going to, just because a lot of guys will ask questions like, now, how do you trail your stop? Are you using like a 5-minute scale or an hourly scale, or is there a particular time frame you're using, Mike, to Try to go stop behind the market.
Yeah, I'll look at a 5 minute chart, 15 minute chart, 30 minute chart, and see where the last major consolidation was, where it broke out of.
Okay.
So I mean it's basically a turning point in the market.
Yeah. Right? No sweat.
Now, this is a 30-minute chart here, and your entry on this trade was at 69. Was there any one particular thing that caused you to decide to enter the market at 69 long?
Yes. If you look at where the market opened today, it opened around 68 quarter.
Let me find the opening. I've got 72.75.
Yeah, if you use a
pistol,
only.
Let me go. The open was, as you said, 68.25. You're right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Right there. Okay, that's the open.
And then you had, if you pull back, you had some reflective wave pullbacks there where there was some support. And so it kind of coincided with the open. So if you look at the open, 68, we pushed up from there.
Right.
Right. We pushed up into some resistance around
73. 70, yeah.
72, 73 right there.
Mm-hmm. And we pulled back.
And
I'm on a 30-minute chart right now.
ISM number, so
Michael, I'm
running up into the ISM number, so I was shorting into that resistance.
Okay.
Figure that per the market, if you look at the close of yesterday, it's 64. It's already run almost 10 points into a number. The number is good, and maybe it goes up a little bit more. I had 70, another resistance point at 75.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't think, after a 10-point run-up into a number, if the number comes out a little bit better than expected, it's already running up into it, so kind of looks like to me maybe they already know it's a good number. Well, it turned out that it wasn't a good number. And so when it flushed down very quickly, I peeled a lot of that off because of how quick it moved down. And then it came right back and closed up above the open of the day.
Right.
So, and
right.
Then when it came down to test around that opening of the day, it couldn't even fill that little bitty gap.
Right.
And we know it's March 1st. A lot of fresh inflows are coming in. Market's been very strong all week. It's usually strong beginning of March. So I figured, hey, I shorted a couple times off of that high and decided, well, this thing really, it's just the market showing me how firm it is. I need to get out and get long for probably a push back up to test these highs. And tomorrow, the weekly high is 77. Usually the market's pretty strong during the week. It wants to finish up near those highs, especially the beginning of the month. So I use all that to kind of say, well, I need to get out. And now looking at the support level, and I would definitely want to buy as strong as this thing moved up. It's up 10 points now. Definitely we'll look at reflective wave pullbacks to add into my position because those work very well, especially when the market's strong like this.
Okay. All right.
Go ahead, Wayne.
No, go ahead, Dave.
I was going to say that, this is really compressed market movement. There's not a lot of points in between these swings. It's very small. You kind of have to, figure that you're not going to make too many points unless the market really, picks up the volatility here. I've seen, having sat next to Mike on a number of occasions, I've seen him trade very quietly on days like this. I mean, with just, we're just waiting for something to happen. And I've seen him trade more actively. He got a little more active as we pulled back recently here this morning. And I think tied in with some news and some other things. I think Bernanke was speaking before. Was that Bernanke?
Yeah.
He was. Yeah. He's speaking again today.
And so not a whole lot happened off that. This is the, Mike is kind of the ideal confluence of technical analysis and somehow putting the news together with that. He's not, he's not trading real huge right at this moment, but he's trading the market and following it to potentially as far as it wants to go on the upside.
Now, you were just talking, David, about how closely the ranges are, and we have a weekly trading zone right here that did go out to the partners before the market opened on Monday at 69.70. I didn't have it up on my screen because when the ranges are this tight, your screen just starts to get very cluttered, and it's hard to get any clarity. But since Michael brought up his entry at 69, by even though there's only a two-point range between these zones, well, look how valuable that actually turned out to be. And so I encourage folks...
If you're watching the bonds, too, the bonds are selling off hard, so you expect some of that money to come into the equity market.
Okay, let's pop
over that's
here.
Another one I want to throw in there, Dwayne, is that that's something that Michael uses a lot, is that he does look at and think about other markets
bonds
and their common position either with, in favor, or counter to the market that he's trading. So it's a very big theme in markets that, you know, the bonds go down, the S&P goes up. It's not always that way.
Yeah, bonds go down, spreads get wider. It's very good for banks. Banks are strong. Goldman Sachs has been ripping all day. J.P. Morgan's up quite a bit. Goldman's up almost 5%. So it's a confluence of events, and looking at the open and seeing how it behaved, then you can make a decision that it's probably better to be long.
And you listeners, if you guys want to get a, you know, like a snapshot of what the financials are doing, if you just pull up XLF, the financials bank stock ETF, that's a good way to measure it without having to go through the individual stocks. Goldman's a big component of it, but if you pull up XLF, it's up 1.25%. That'll give you like a nice snapshot of what.
Here, 15.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, Bert, are you also saying there that if the XLF is up, chances are bonds are down?
No, I would just measure it as if the banks and the financials are strong.
Okay. All right.
You know, if they got a good showing strength or weakness, like Michael's saying, that's something that he uses as a gauge of strength in the market. Usually, where the financial goes, a lot of times stocks are following it. So this.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
Michael, another question. Do you trade currency futures?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Do you trade currency futures?
Yeah, sometimes I do.
Any one particular that you like? The euro, British pound?
Euro. Usually the euro.
And do you trade just the futures contract, or do you trade the actual currency pair?
I trade the futures contract.
Okay.
The euro.
And is your Globex strategy the same basic strategy that you use when you trade intraday?
Yeah, basically, yes. Well, I just told you how I kind of looked at the market and looking at the charts for last consolidations, and I use that overnight as well.
Okay. And as the market approaches new highs and lows, does that affect how you're going to trade that market? Do you look to do something specific in the market?
Yes, I usually will take things off in front of those big last reaction highs. I definitely will take off most of my position. If not, if the market's really stretching those positions, I may go short, depending if it's the first time. If it's the first time up, first time it visits a major resistance area, then you know, I'll short it. If I'm long and do it, I'll get out of my long and turn around and short it. Now that we've tested, we spent a lot of time working off the 73.50 area from last, so that was last year's high. We spent several days up here now, kind of eating through the overhead resistance. The last reaction high was 77.50, something like that. We had 78 resistance. I think in the panel, page trader. So that number, if you look at where the last low was and how it ran up into it, I think it was maybe 15 point move into that resistance. So, and you had 73.50. So it's pulled back from there quite a bit. And if you look at the pullbacks, they're shallower, which means that if we ever break below these last big lows we had yesterday, then I would think the market will have a lot more downside. But until then, when a market's in an uptrend, the most important thing to pay attention to is support in the market,
mm-hmm.
or a reflective wave, you know, a reflective wave bottom support. Trying to keep shorting an up market is futile. I mean, you have to always, if you get a chance to buy a pullback, you need to buy a pullback. It's clear on a daily chart or any chart that the market is in a very strong uptrend. So same thing goes in a downtrend. The most important thing is always selling resistance in a downtrend until the market can break hard enough to prove that it's just not weak anymore or it's not strong anymore. And this market has shown that it's been strong for a long time.
Looking at this chart that I have up on the screen right now,
are David has been a good athlete. He's definitely helped me not do too many foolish things and being shorting this thing too heavily when I do want to short it, because it is in such a strong uptrend. He's been definitely pounding the table on this market's going to keep going up until his, I think he has a top in March. He's been right, so I can't argue with that.
Now, Michael, are you able to see the chart that I have up right now?
Let me see.
Do you have access to
that? Right there. Yes, yeah.
Okay. Uptrend, no doubt. This is just a 15-minute chart, which
right.
I had a 30-minute chart up earlier. Someone looking
it's not compressed enough. I think you need to compress it more. I can't see anything more than today. There you go. That's better. You can always have a lot of left in your chart.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of looking left. Okay, I look both ways when I cross the street, but when I trade, I always look left. And
there
so,
that's better.
These lows over here, at what point mm-hmm. would you start to say, maybe this uptrend is no longer intact, and would you just maybe go to a larger time frame?
I'd get a larger time frame. I mean, definitely I'd draw a trend line on that 15-minute chart, but if you look left right there, you have 75 to 77 as a resistance area, so I'm definitely peeling some off of here. Because, I mean, I don't know if it's going to keep going, but look at the last low. The last reaction low was 56, and they've already run 20 points back up. So I'd definitely be a seller. Now, if you look at that 15, if you look at that chart you're in, look at the last low.
Right here?
Yeah.
56?
Yes.
And that was just last night.
That's right.
Or yesterday afternoon.
We held the last low and it's pushing back up, and it's already look at the trend. Look at the buying in this trend and this 15-minute, all these 15-minute candles. Not much pullback in there.
I've gone back to an hourly chart.
It looks a whole lot stronger.
Right now.
It looks a whole lot stronger than that move down yesterday.
Let me shift it back into the 15. Okay, we're back into the 15 now. Now, you say the buying here looks stronger than the selling did here. Could you maybe kind of explain that a little bit?
Well, I mean, look how fast that push down was yesterday, and then the big bounce.
Uh huh.
Right.
Okay. This big.
So
this
there's
big
a lot of separation in that chart, as opposed to there's no hardly any separation in this chart today. The only big move you got today is up there near 73.50. That was on a number.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right.
And obviously it pushed down and immediately it stabilized above around the opening price. Mm-hmm. It didn't matter how bad the number was. The market told you there that. They didn't care really about the number. They cared about it for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 15 minutes, but they really maintained holding that market up. As opposed to look at the big drop-off yesterday at the very end of the day, it's come right back in the overnight, and it's trading up near the 70 area. The chart just looks up to me. I mean, it just looks a whole lot stronger, but now it's coming up in that resistance around the 75 to 77 level, that last turn in the market, which was down. Yeah, I did.
Okay. Good stuff.
And look at the range. So And look at that range. It turned down from that 75, 77 area, pushed all the way down to 56. It's a 20-point move. 20-point move down in a strong market. I mean, that's a lot. I would be buying 20-point move downs, 30-point move downs, especially near 1350, where it has not broken down yet. It's held 1350. It's held 1353. Until it takes that out and closes below it, probably on a daily basis, then this market's still an uptrend.
On yesterday's move down, we can see there were two pushes. One, two. Now,
right.
a gentleman that I interviewed on the radio before he became famous and became an author, Dr. Al Brooks. He was actually a medical doctor, an MD, and he decided to retire, stay home and day trade. He has a very firm theory that major moves in the market will almost always consist of two pushes. Okay, so we can clearly see this here yesterday. First move down, the retracement,
right.
The second move down, and then the reversal comes. Is that anything that you're familiar with, use, believe? Does that in any way play into it?
I do believe in that.
Okay.
So you had one big leg down. You had a nice bounce. Take that first big leg down. Let me see.
Mm-hmm.
Pull this off to my, let me pull it. Let me pull a 15-minute chart on my. Okay. So that was
a 62% retracement from the high to the low. That bounce.
So the first leg down was 14 points.
Okay.
Bounced up and then take minus 14 points from the last high.
Which is important.
So that's very important that
yeah.
leg is almost, you know, it's called a measured move.
Right.
So I'll definitely look at it. If you get a big leg down and then a nice bounce like it did and then another move down, which is a measured move, that first leg, and you pretty much know that 1350 area, 1355 area is holding.
Mm-hmm.
I would be buying it there. I mean, that's the best, highest probability trade you can get. Yes, it looked scary yesterday. It was plunging down, but that's when I think you should be getting excited about, hey, I'm getting this big pullback, 20-point pullback. It's quick, it's fast, straight down, and I know I have 1350 as my support. Yeah, that's when I'll take some more chances of averaging into a big level like that.
Now, let me make sure I understand you correct, and I think Bert was trying to clarify that. This move down, once we get this pullback, the measured move is you're looking for a move equivalent to this to materialize here. Is that correct?
I'm not necessarily looking for it, but if it displays itself, then yes, I'm definitely taking that into account that, hey, we've had one quick move down, we had a counter-turn rally back up, and then they flushed them out at the end of the day. And they're giving you an opportunity to buy them back to a spot, near a spot where they cannot break them down from. Now, do I know they're not going to break? No, I don't know if it's actually going to break down, but if it's going to go to 1350, but if you're going to take a shot in buying it, that's the best place. It's just giving you a 20-point pullback.
Bert, what can you add to that? Or what questions do you have for Michael?
I don't have a question, but he's just measuring, it's like a...
Yeah, it's a classic measured move.
Basically,
I mean, you can take a retracement tool and look at 100% projection.
Exactly. 1.382. You know,
I'd like to throw in here that Michael does eat Mentos, the rainbow-flavored Mentos. We went to 7-Eleven. He picked up 4 or 5 rolls of them, and he can eat an entire roll within, say, 10 or 12 minutes. So that may be of help to some of the traders.
I'll be heading out to get some immediately after the radio program.
Yeah, these are the rainbow. This is rainbow flavored, not the mint. So if you're going to do it right.
This morning, if you looked at your 30-minute chart, you had a breakdown from yesterday from 73.4. On a 30-minute chart, the first candle down, and then had a, you had a subsequent rally. You had the next leg down. This morning you gapped up and you put in a 30-minute reflective wave top. So when I'm seeing that reflective wave top and it's near the resistance,
mm-hmm.
and you have a number coming up and it just ran up 10 points, that's why I got short today.
Right, but here, okay.
I wanted to buy a pullback if I got one. It just didn't pull back very much, and it held that opening price. It never closed below that open of 68.50. So it was time to get long for maybe a push up this afternoon. And that's how I kind of looked at the market from using yesterday's chart action or price action.
Yeah, you can see, Dwayne, there's just a lot of this kind of long, you know, there's a mature process of time. He's looking at markets for a long time, and he just has a, you know, a way of looking at it and tying his own ideas together with
and watching
whatever.
Bonds drop.
Watching the bonds drop, you know.
It means something. And watching financials keep hitting highs and bonds dropping and market can't break down, you put it together. You looked at the price action from yesterday, and this was telling you that
you're strong.
Just don't be short; it's strong.
Yeah, this market wants to go higher. So, Dwayne, I think for the time being, because he is in a position right now, and I want him to be able to manage it while we're up here testing this 75 level. I do want to throw in here that Michael did drive the electric car today. I just wanted to take a quick moment to have him say a few words because everyone thinks that I'm nuts. So this is a man who drives some pretty nice machinery himself. And yet he got into that car. And, Michael, why don't you explain what happened?
I don't want to get one.
Do I need to say any more?
No. That says it all. I want to get one. That could be a TV commercial. What was it in particular that you liked?
It's just amazingly quiet. And you get in it, and you just can't believe you're in a car that's actually running.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It does have nice torque, and I can't imagine when they improve the technology how incredible it would be to have every car on the road like that. That quiet. It does have a tremendous appeal to it, almost like an elegant appeal to it because it is quiet. And I got in David's other one. He has a very nice AMG Mercedes that I got into, and I was like, wow, this thing feels like, even though it's a beautiful car and it's fast, it just felt like a big, heavy, clunky machine.
Right.
As opposed to this very quiet, more elegant, with a lot of torque. It's just amazing. It's just weird to get in a car that's that quiet. There's no sound at all. It's almost weird, but it's very nice. And that's how all the cars on the road like that. You don't have to hear any car noise.
A couple summers ago.
God, it feels good to have somebody with some respect saying that they like that car. Man, I mean, I am smoking something now. This is nice. Let me just inhale this. That is really good. Yeah,
the
thank
aroma.
You, bud. Appreciate
oh.
it.
Go ahead, Dwayne. By Chevy Volt.
You know, Michael, I know you've been a blessing to David coming out with your trading and all of that, but more than anything, you've ridden in his car. Better yet, you've driven his car, and now you've validated everything we've heard.
I finally got to drive his car. I validated, yes, everything he was saying.
Oh, I can only imagine the Cheshire Cat smile on his face right now. Oh, my God.
Oh, if you could see it now, we need to go to pure video so you can see it next time. Because, yes, you know, some of us get respect around here. Some of us don't. So today I feel as though I've been validated because of all the bad things that have been said about the car. No, it really
is. I didn't believe it, but it is really an amazing feeling car.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine that if once the technology gets better and better, if it's in nice sedans and stuff, in larger cars, it's going to be amazing.
Well, there, I think my day's done. I think I've pretty much cleared the books.
I think David should change his career and get into maybe manufacturing some electric cars.
Michael, if the market...
I love the market too much.
Michael, if the market pulls back into the 72
area...
You should
be good at it. You're great at it, actually.
if the market pulls back into the 72 area, is that a place that you would look to be, as you said earlier, buying a pullback?
I would buy probably a pullback into, I don't know, the 60, let's see, where's reflective wave here?
69, 68
would be from this point, because it's only at 75. I'm not going to buy it. I don't really want to be trading too small of a pullback. I'd rather trade, look at the range of a day. It's 10 points. So
sure.
You get a 5 to 7 point pullback, which probably is unlikely, but if we did, and if it was pretty quick, I would definitely buy it.
Well, Dwayne, I think I hope that this has been useful, and it certainly has been good for me. I might throw that in.
I can tell.
But no.
So you'd rather buy a pullback down around that 69 area again, Michael, as opposed to 72?
Yeah, I would. Since I'm already in the position, mm-hmm. and I have a pretty decent position on, I would definitely buy it. Let's see. If I wanted to take more risk and buy a little higher, I might buy 70,
okay.
or in front of 70.
Okay.
But that's about a 4 or 5 point pullback. So I would try that. I mean, you seem like you have a lot of support down here at 69. But if any test of that, I would try it again.
All right. Well, very good. Thanks so much for taking time out of your day to come, and you're going to still be here again tomorrow?
I'll be here tomorrow.
Okay. Now, I don't want you to make a snap decision here. I'm going to ask you a question. A couple people have asked. David understands the technology and how it works. We don't want to see your P&L, but some folks have asked if you might be willing to, because I can switch the screen over to you, would you be willing to maybe show a chart that you're working with and maybe point a few things out on your chart? Think about it. You don't even have to give me an answer today. If you're comfortable with it tomorrow, I'll switch the controls over to David. He can pass them to you.
I guess it depends on David, because I have some of David's stuff on my chart. So
oh, okay. Well, again, yeah. No, I understand. There's proprietary stuff there. So, if you know, David, right. There's been some requests. So, but if it's not something you want to do.
You know what? For this trip, Dwayne, I think because he came with three laptops and everything that, there's not a single chart on here that doesn't have all kinds of stuff on it that is proprietary.
Fair enough. No,
I mean, I'm looking at them right now. But on his next trip, I don't think it would be a problem if he knew in advance that we could set that up and make it pretty easy.
Okay.
Otherwise, I could slide him over to my chart.
Yeah, or I can get on David's and draw some lines.
But his he's got a pretty extensive, along with his ladder and his, all the stuff that's,
sure.
that's here. There's a lot of stuff there that he would have to clean off and move and all that stuff.
I have to take off David's. I guess take off some of your stuff.
Yes, and his own stuff. I mean, he's got a lot of things on there. Plus, I don't know if I would want the number of packages of Mentos that he has to be known as a fact. So I think.
But I wouldn't mind if we just had a clean chart. I could definitely.
Okay, that'd be great. Well, if it works out, we look forward to it.
Okay. Well, Dwayne, thank you very much for having us on.
Thank you.
I hope
guys.
That was useful. I need to cut it a little bit short because he is trading and I want to let him get back to that without too much.
Absolutely.
More time here. So we'll see you guys tomorrow. Hopefully there'll be some further movement here. And, Dwayne, thanks for having us on. And thanks for the questions as well. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Michael. Sure. And thank you, David.
Okay. Thank you all, Dwayne.
Thanks.
See you guys. Have a good day.
All right, guys, that's also going to wrap it up for us. I appreciate you all tuning in here. Oh, you crack me up, dude. Oh, I get one guy. Yeah. Hey, Bert, are you laughing as hard as I am?
No, I didn't see it.
Look in the chat box. How could you get two statements farther apart? But then, you know. All right. Anyway. I really enjoyed yesterday and today. I look forward to tomorrow. Guys, you're invited to come back and bring your questions. You can email them in, tweet them in, you know, whatever floats your boat. Come on down. Overhead, weekly trading zone, we do have 1379, 1380. Very interesting to hear that the entry was at a weekly trading zone, 69. Very nice move to the upside. We, of course, participating in that would have probably just, you know, kind of been getting out right here. But he's held it, and he will continue to hold at least part of it. And if it comes back to the 70 area, he says he's interested in buying it again. So we'll watch that. We still have about 2 hours left in today's session. One last quick look over here at the YM. Keep in mind that we're back at the top of the range. The same range that we've been dealing with for a while. There we are, sitting right at the top of the range. Okay. This morning we've gone from the bottom to the top, to the bottom, to the top. What's next? It's like one of those things in school. What's missing from this picture? Well, we'll see. But it looks like a move, potentially, back into this 65-70 area. Again, that's only a 30-point range, okay? This whole business. That's 3 points on the ES. That's this little area right here, okay? Got this little double bottom here, and based on the discussion today, those guys are looking for a double top, potentially up around this 77 area. And then David has a daily number, or weekly number, whatever it is, a little higher than our 80. He's got one up around 83. So that's probably one to keep your eye on as well. Also, David has been talking for some time about a larger term top in the month of March. Today is March 1st. So time to start giving some thought to that. He has said he thought it would be in the first quarter of the month. So just for now, the market's moving higher. The market's moving higher. You better be a buyer. Otherwise, it just doesn't work out too well. I'll remind you again, if you want to be a beta tester, okay, you just need to go here. And I will send this out in the chat box. And it's very easy to install. In fact, it says it right there. Installs in seconds. Now, it says your browser is not supported because I'm using Chrome at the moment. There is a Chrome version. If you need the Chrome version, let me know. I'll get it to you. But it works really quite well and does any number of great things that you might want a toolbar to do. Again, you can listen to the radio. You just click it, boom, and there you are, playing the radio. Need to take a free trial? Right there. Go to the blog. You got it. Go over to Daniel's Trading. Sign up for the platform and the indicators and the simulator and Burton Leslie's attention. It's right there. One click away. Up top, by clicking this, you have access to all of our recent blog posts. You can Facebook, you can tweet, you can check your Gmail, you can add things to your Amazon wish list, and the whole time you're doing that and surfing the net, you can be listening to CFRN in the background. On the drop down, you can read our daily newspaper, which I don't know, I think is kind of cool. I've grown rather fond of it. I read my own newspaper, which is no surprise because I do listen to my own radio station. So, but it's all right there, the CFRN E-mini daily futures. Don't be thrown off by the name because it's about a lot more. You'll be able to see the stuff that Daniel's trading posts, guys like Mark Driscoll from Mars Hill Church, Matt Chandler from The Village, the guys at The Resurgence, all the people that I find interesting and that I follow out on the big old wide world of the internet. We got business and technology and stories. And you know, and the cool thing, you don't have to go stumbling around trying to find it. It's on your toolbar. You just click, read our daily newspaper. You want to check out our latest article on Seeking Alpha? There it is. Want to follow us on Google Plus? There it is. Okay. It's all very clever. And I've left space, as you can see, for further development. That will be based upon your feedback. Tell me what you want here, and I'll go to work with the coders, if I can't code it myself, and we'll do our very best to get it in there for you. Okay? So I will send that out one more time. I'll send the link. It's a quick install. It will throw up a warning, and it'll say, "Warning, Will Robinson, are you sure you know what you're doing? Are you sure you want to do this?" You have my personal assurance for whatever that's worth to you. I know it's worth more. that's a strong currency for some of you. Others, you know, maybe not so much. That's okay. You have my personal assurance that you won't be infected with any virus, but we're dealing with Amazon.com here. Okay, they don't need to infect your computer. They, in cahoots with Google and Apple, pretty much rule the universe already. So there isn't anything about you that they don't already know. So click the link, install the toolbar, use it, play with it, have a good time, share it with your friends. And if there's anything you'd like to see improved, added, I could put in a link to the Daily Audio Bible, if you have an interest in that, so that each day when you wake up, fire up your browser, you just click a button right about here, or I could even add it to the drop-down window, so that you wake up, get your first cup of coffee, you sit down at your desk, you open your browser. That tends to be the first thing most people do every day is sit in front of their computer and open their browser. With one click, you can be streaming today's edition of the Daily Audio Bible as done by Brian, as done like no one else on planet Earth could do it. The guy is so talented, if for no other reason, then he's always in a good mood and very upbeat and very positive, and he's built a great worldwide community. But he can actually say all of those names from the Old Testament. The stuff that you and I stumble over and mumble over, he actually does it. And if you click that every day over the course of a year, anyone who's a believer has probably at some point said, you know, I'm going to get on one of those one-year Bible reading programs. I've read bits and pieces, or over the course of my life, I've read the whole thing, maybe more than once. But I'm going to do one of those one-year plans where I'm able to read the entire Bible in 1 year. And you know what? If you're a little bit lazy or you just like the sound of his voice, by using the Daily Audio Bible, he'll read you the Bible in 1 year. Each day's program broadcast is about 30 minutes in length. You get a little Old Testament, get a little New Testament, get some Psalms, get some Proverbs, get a little encouragement, and you get some people from around the world calling in with their prayer requests and their praise reports. That's probably my favorite part of the broadcast. So, you know what? You don't even have to email me on that one. I'm going to add that button to the toolbar because I can. So that's it. Signing off here. Watch the market. As Bert would say, stay alert and stay alive. Thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with his mercy and with his grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. as always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decision.